anyway, that's a week from this Sunday. It is an egg bake is what you're going to get. And it's just a way to get to know one another. Because that's just, I think, very important. And that is for you to if you haven't signed up, please sign up here tonight or this Sunday. I'll be here about again this Sunday. Tonight, I hope you got a folder. Because there's like 30 songs in here, and we're just going to, when the time comes, Bob's going to say, what song would you like to sing? And you just shout out either the title of the song or the number that you find in here. There's 30 of them. We're not going to do all 30. We're going to do just 3 or 4 of them. And the first one who yells it out, that's who Bob is going to say, okay, we'll play that and sing that one. So let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the supper here tonight, the potluck supper, and the people that made it happen. Thank you for those that came with big stomachs, like Marshall.
Hi.
And it was very good, so we just thank you for the preparation that went in for the supper here tonight. And we are mindful of those in our midst, Lord, that are going through a difficult time. If it's come from surgery and regaining their strength, if it's on chemo and the things that it does to a person who's on chemo, and those that are planning on surgery in the very near future, Lord, may you just touch their lives and may they know that they're not alone in all of this. And then we just pray also, Lord, for our president and all those around him, as well as those in Ukraine and in Russia, that there would be an end to this war, and that the people who have been really scattered and left their homes and only have what they're able to put in a plastic bag or a suitcase or something, Lord, that they have no idea what they're going to go back to, if they will ever go back again or not. But I believe that there will be a day that they will go back, just like the Israelites went back to Israel to rebuild, and that they will rejoice, even though there may be nothing really left there, but to start all over. And so we just pray that you be with those dear people that are in different countries as we are here tonight, and may there be something good that comes out of all of this, where your name is glorified. May Jesus become more to people now than ever before. And so we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, who's got a number?
32.
Which one?
32.
32.
And then 15.
Oh, I mean, we can't do that right away. We'll have to wait until the next time we
don't
do
that.
32. Church in the Wildwood. Who does not know this song?
Thank you.
Okay, what's another number?
Two.
Come on over here, what's another number? Two. We got two over here, can that become the 15?
Okay, I'm stopping right there.
Okay. Two, Amazing Grace. That means we want to hear you sing it out.
Thank you.
there, what would you like to sing? Do you have one of these?
No.
That's what I thought.
They want a solo. Give them a solo.
I think they should have a duet from up there.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me. You can do it.
I do want to say that, you know, Lent is a wonderful time when we follow Jesus to the cross. There's so many things that he did for us, so many things that he had done to him because of us, because he loves us, that it just is amazing. So I always find it's a really good time, this time of the year, when we go back and we refresh our minds again of what Jesus went through. And tonight we're looking at the arrest. It's kind of our theme tonight, the arrest. And who can tell me who was really the one that got Jesus arrested? Who was he? Marshall? I'd ask your friend, but he's here and we want him to come back. One of the 12 disciples was responsible for getting Jesus arrested. Who was he? Time's up. Who knows?
Yeah.
So what's the definition for arrest? Arrest means to deprive a person of his liberty by legal authority, taking custody of another for the purpose of holding or detaining him to answer a criminal charge or civil demand. Who has been arrested here at one time in your life? Dave. What were you charged with?
Expired license plate.
You didn't have to spend one night though in the slammer.
I did.
You did? Wow.
It's a long story and I'm not going to get it in the whole time.
Anybody else here that got arrested sometime in your life? See, Dean was arrested once. You probably should have been arrested more. All right, you know, if you're ever arrested, it's not a good feeling to have, I would not think, would it? Whenever you see the red lights flashing or the red and blue lights flashing behind your car, it's not a good feeling at all. It's not a good sign. It's happened to me twice. I've got two speeding tickets. And I thought the cop would kind of just give me a warning. And people said, well, didn't you tell me you're a pastor and you had to go to another church? I said, I'm not going to pull the pastor card. I said, I was guilty. He got me. So I had to pay the fine. So it's happened to me twice. I just couldn't believe it. So I should let Sharon drive on, probably. So when was Jesus arrested? Who can tell me? I'm looking at a specific time here of when he was arrested. It was after he left a room. What was the name of that room? The upper room, correct? What happened in that upper room?
The Last Supper.
That's where Jesus said, this is my body, and this is my blood. He told it to his disciples, he said, now eat the bread, drink the wine, and do this from here on out until he comes back again. So it's something that we remember. It's a memorial as we think of what Jesus did on that night, but it becomes even more than a memorial, it becomes actual where he forgives us as we participate in that sacrament. And I'll get into that, but I'll just tell you that. So then, where did Jesus go after he left the upper room?
Gethsemane.
Went to the garden. What's the name of the garden?
Gethsemane.
Garden of Gethsemane. What does Gethsemane mean? I didn't think you would know that one. Gethsemane is like a wine press. It's a place where there's a lot of pressure that is given to squeeze out the grapes, where it will bring out the juice from the grape. And they did that with big stones that they put on top to press out that wine, or to make that juice and become wine. So Gethsemane means wine press. It's a place of pressure. And we know it was really a place of pressure for Jesus. How do we know that? When he prayed, he left his disciples off to the side. He was about a stone's throw away. He went to a place to pray. And it says there in Luke is the only one that mentions it, but that he sweat drops of blood. Now that's a lot of pressure. And anyone, you talk to a doctor, saying, can that really happen to a person? You'll find out that it can. It's even documented that under enough stress, enough pressure, you can sweat. Blood will come out of your sweat. And so, that's pretty intense when you think of that. And so Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said something, I think, that's very, very important for us to remember. He's praying. And what did he say in the garden? He said some words. What are those words? He said, Father, if there's any way that this cup can be passed from me, but then he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And so we're going to hear a little bit more about that here tonight. Now, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he often took his disciples there because it was a nice place. The grove of olive trees, there are some that are still there today that they believe goes back to the time of Christ. They're just huge trunks that are there. They're right next to a church. I think it's the Church of the Nations. Put some right there. But inside the church, there is a big rock on the floor. And when we were there, there was a lot of people who were just kind of on the prone position. Means they're on their knees or on their bellies, and they were kissing this rock, or they had their hand on the rock. It was a dark place, but it was just lit up where this rock was at. So they believe that that is where Jesus, prayed this prayer. Father, forgive them. Father, if there's any way that this cup can be passed from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. And so it's kind of still there. So that is at the base of the Mount of Olives. Today, the Mount of Olives is really covered with a cemetery. It's got a lot of grave sides, or graves that are on this whole side of this mountain, called the Mount of Olives, and at the very base is the Kidron Valley. And you can see on the other side of the valley is a hill. And so if anyone is coming down that hill, they would be able to see them, especially at night. So Jesus is arrested late at night. And remember, there's no lights at this time. There's no street lights. There's no cell phones. There's no iPad. There's nothing like that. And so Jesus and the disciples would look, and they could see that they were able to see that people were coming. There was a group of them coming, and they were holding torches and lanterns. And with them they had clubs and swords, and they were coming down. And they were looking for Jesus, and who is leading this crowd?
Judas.
Judas is leading this crowd. Now remember last week when we said that the high priest Caiaphas and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law or the chief priests, they wanted to find a way to arrest Jesus or to kill him. But they said, not at this time, because it's Passover. And so they did not want to cause a riot, but they needed to find some way to be real sneaky, and get their hands on Jesus. And so when Judas shows up to them, they're able to go during the night And then Judas makes, he tells them, here's a signal. It's dark, they don't really know for sure what Jesus looks like, or they want to make sure they get the right guy. And so Judas says, I tell you what, I will, the guy that I kiss, that is the man who you arrest. And so he does that. He goes right to Jesus, because he knows Jesus, he's been with him for 3 years, and he betrays him with a kiss. So have you ever been betrayed?
Yes.
Yeah. McKenna has betrayed you? She says no. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
I think he's betrayed you. So I want to take you to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verses 1 through 9. And then we'll skip down to verses 12 through 14. John 18, verse 1 through 9, it says, when he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often been there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, now that's very important. Jesus knows what's going to happen here. This does not take him by surprise. Knowing all that was going to happen to him, he went out and asked them. So it's Jesus who goes out to meet this mob, this crowd of people who have come to arrest him. You know, it's kind of like, is he afraid? And we find that he's not afraid. He knows what's going to happen. He's known it for a long time. And so he goes out to this mob, this, you know, of soldiers and religious leaders, and he knows what their intentions are. He knows that Judas is leading them, and Judas is going to betray him with a kiss. And Jesus says, he asks them this question, who is it you want? And then they reply back, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. And Judas and the traitor was standing there with them. And when Jesus said, I am he drew back. They drew back and they fell to the ground. Now think of that. This is a big crowd of people coming to arrest him. And as soon as Jesus says, well, I am he, they all fall down on the ground. What would cause them to fall down on the ground? It goes back to the time of Moses. Remember when Moses was out and he saw the burning bush? God had called him to go back to Egypt, to take his people away from Pharaoh, to bring them out of Egypt. And then Moses says, like, if they ask me who sent me, what am I supposed to say? And God said to him, I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you. And so we find that Jesus has two natures here. One is he's got a human nature, because we know that he ate, he needed sleep, he got tired, he had emotions, he cried when Lazarus, he found out that Lazarus had died when Mary and Martha told him, Lord, if you only would have been here, Lazarus would still be alive. But Jesus cried over death. And he brought Lazarus forth, of course. But he didn't do that with everybody. And so we know that Jesus had some powers that showed that he was also God. He had a divine nature. A human nature and a divine nature. He's both man, he's both God. And so when he said, I am he, he's really stating to these people that I am God. And they just couldn't believe their ears. But they all fell down. The power that was there in that name. That's where we get the name Yahweh. Yahweh is from the Hebrew alphabet, and there is no vowels in the Hebrew language. And so you have a Y, a W, and a Y, and an H. You get the word Yahweh. And you've probably heard of that. I never heard of that until I was in seminary. That was a name for God, Yahweh, name for Jesus. And we find that in the book of John, 7 times, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, there's 7 of those sayings where he says, I am, which means he's claiming that he is God. And for people to believe in him, they can trust him. So after these guys get up, Matthew and Mark just tell us that Judas was leading this group, and he arranged a signal for them that the one he kissed, that's a man you arrest. Luke is the only one that where it says that Jesus addresses these guys by saying, am I leading a rebellion? That you have come with swords and clubs. Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour. He understands that this is your hour. This is the hour of darkness. Some terrible things are going to happen this night, early in the morning, to him, which did take place. Mark is one where it says that Jesus, when he prayed, he said, Abba, Father. Abba is not the musical group from Sweden that you used to listen to. Abba means daddy. It's a relationship. He calls his father dad. Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. And so we find that Jesus surrendered. It's not what he wanted to do, but he knew this is what he must do in order to bring forgiveness of sins to us. Now, how many times did they try to arrest Jesus before this evening? John is really the place that tells us that they tried 3 other times to try to arrest Jesus, and he got away every time. Sometimes he hid himself. Sometimes they just couldn't lay a hand on him. One time, we find in John 7:30 and 32, the temple guards, that they were told by the high priest to go and arrest Jesus. And so that's what they went to do. They found him, and yet when they listened to what he had to say, they came back to the chief priest or the high priest, and they said that they go like, so where is Jesus? You're supposed to bring him back to us. You're supposed to arrest him. And they go, well, no one ever spoke the way this man does. No one ever speaks this way. So there was something about Jesus that caught the attention of people. And even these guys are supposed to arrest him. They go like, I see nothing why we should arrest the guy for. I don't know what happened to these guys from the chief priests that told them to do it, and they came back empty handed. Doesn't tell us. But they tried 3 times to try to arrest Jesus, and it never ever worked until this night, because this is the time. The time that was given for this to come to be fulfilled in what Scripture has said would take place. And so this is why Judas is so essential to the conspiracy of those that wanted to arrest him and kill him, that he was one of his own, one of the 12 disciples. You couldn't have got a better person to be a snitch or to be able to tell him where he would be at this time of the night. But Judas knew. He'd be the only one that would know where he and the disciples were at in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so you can tell why, you know, the reason they were so heavily armed would be, you know, they're hunting down the most wanted man in the world. They want to get their hands on Jesus. They tried 3 times and failed. Now they wanted to make sure they'd get him. And so, I mean, they came making sure that he wouldn't get away. So, I mean, they came with clubs and swords and things like that, which they didn't need to have. But put yourself in their shoes, following their orders to make sure you guys bring Jesus back tonight. Jesus had told Andrew and Philip, one of two of these guys are part of the 12. I find this in John chapter 12, verse 27, that Jesus says to these two guys, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour." Pretty important words that Jesus knew what was ahead of him. And so Jesus came to suffer, to die for our sins, and that here is where we find that he would surrender to be arrested, where they would bind him. You know, they bound him, they would tie his hands together, if it was in front of him or if it was behind him. But it was the beginning then of his punishment that he would be received throughout the rest of the morning, early morning hours, that eventually lead him to the cross. So you just think of what Jesus did for you and I tonight. You know, he was tried unfairly, unjustly convicted, and unmercifully crucified. He was an innocent guy. And even Pontius Pilate tried to convince the Jewish leaders that this guy's done nothing wrong. So concluding tonight, in real life, when a man is going to be arrested, his or her first thoughts are going to be what? If you ever watch cops on TV, what do they do? They run. They want to run away from them. They want to hide. What did Jesus do? He walked out to them and said that he was the one that they were looking for. And he just let them bind him and take him away to Caiaphas' palace that night. So when you think of what we would normally do, Jesus did just the opposite. His primary concern then was not just for himself, but he also said to them who came to arrest him, "I'm the guy, but let the rest of my disciples, let the rest of these go. Let them go." But what did those rest of them do? They all abandoned Jesus. They all ran. But Jesus didn't. And so he calls his disciples, those that were there with him, his friends. It says, "Then let these men go." Are you his friend tonight? Are you a friend of Jesus? Would you call Jesus your friend?
Yes.
Good. Do you know that you are safe because of what he did for you on the cross?
Yes.
Good. Because you are the reason why he went to the cross and died there for you. You are the reason why he came back from the dead too. So I just ask you with this, the very last thing I'm going to ask you tonight, the last question. Is Jesus your friend and Savior tonight? The Lord can handle all this stuff. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we think of what you've done and we know that, Lord, it's really not a funny thing. It's very serious. When you think of a man giving his life for all of us, and we give him our sin, and he in turn gives us forgiveness of those sins and the promise of eternal life. And so we thank you, Lord, that sometimes we don't always understand that, especially when we are young, and yet sometimes when we're young, we do understand that. Sometimes when we are middle-aged, we understand it, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes when we are even old, we've heard it many times, but we have never really made a personal kind of commitment in our lives. And so, Lord, tonight we just thank you for us to be able to walk with you on the things that happened in your life. The way that you suffered, the things that you did because you wanted to, because of love for us, and that you change our lives today in a powerful way. And so I just pray, Lord, that there are many in this community and in this state and in our country and around the world that have never heard this. And when they hear it, the mouths kind of drop open and they go like, why would anybody do something like this for me? And the answer is, there's a love that you don't know anything about. He did it because he loves us. And so we are grateful for his sacrifice on the cross for all of us. In your name we pray. Amen. Bob, do you have a closing number?
Yes, we do. We just plan to God be with you.
That's right. It's at the very end of the folder. That's very...
That would be a boogie stance.